I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. There were some present at that very time who told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans are worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Lo, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered them, "Let it alone, sir, this year also, till I dig about it and put in manure. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. If not, you can cut it down." May the Lord bless the reading of His Scripture.
Why do you think it is that we hear the story in this Scripture about the Galileans, and then immediately thereafter, we get to hear this wonderful parable about a fig tree? What brings those two together? Because oftentimes, you know, you want to know, how did they get that? How did they get to that point? What purpose do you find in the parable? It is easy enough to decipher the first part of this scripture because it is clear Jesus wants us to repent. That's what John the Baptist was all about, is a baptism of repentance. He wants us to turn around and face God. I was telling the class this morning, and I believe we've mentioned this in the service before, but the word repent means turn around. And the reason that that is used is you should be facing God. And Jesus, John the Baptist, and others said, repent. If your back is to God, you need to turn around, because it's only in facing God that you live a life of righteousness. But when you turn your back on God, then you begin to sin. So repent, turn around, and face God. And this scripture makes it clear there is no degree of sin. You realize Jesus says there is no degree to sin in this first part. Sin is sin. Doesn't matter if it's a little sin or a big sin, sin is sin. So we get to hear the second part, the parable. It speaks to a much more profound issue concerning sin and what we as followers of Christ must do to stop sinners and to stop sin, or we should stop ourselves. Another way to put it, we want to help those of us who are not bearing fruit. How do we do that? You know, we could go back and look at the Puritans and how they used to look at Scripture and look at sin and how to resolve the issue of sin. The Puritans viewed the family as a little church, a little commonwealth. The home was to be a place where spiritual and moral development was nurtured. A smaller culture that impacted the larger culture. In other words, if you're doing it in your home, if everyone works on those issues at home, then the wider world is going to benefit. It's going to be better off. Interestingly, as Christians, the Lord says we are to view ourselves as family. Unfortunately, we all too often wish to banish wayward family members, treat them harshly if they do not do as we wish or bend to our will. Jesus says, no, we don't ban people. We don't ban them. We nurture them. You know, according to statistics, men are much worse about being judgmental and harsh than women. In The Female Brain by Lou Anne Brizendine of the University of California, San Francisco Women's and Teens, Girls, Mood, and Hormone Clinic, she sets out to show the ways in which the female brain is different than the male brain, and though certainly not politically correct, she admits the female brain is a machine built for connection, and that women are, to some extent, hardwired to nurture. Women are hardwired to nurture. Some of you are looking around like, I'm not so sure. I don't know. We men are typically not made to be connectional or to nurture. Therefore, we tend to take harsh steps when someone does not do as we wish, act as we wish for them to, or if they sin, that is, are errant in their behavior, we want to get in there and take care of it. And we're not always nice about the way we do it. But let us look at the wife that God made for Adam. God could have been jealous and desired that Adam would only relate to him, but he lovingly realized Adam was incomplete by himself. His aloneness was short of perfection. So God formed a special partner to complement and complete Adam. God did not make a carbon copy of Adam, but a person unlike Adam to fill in the gaps and provide strengths where Adam was weak, to give him someone to care for and care about. She was everything he couldn't be and brought to the forefront everything he needed to become. She was gentle to offset his roughness. She was a multitasker to offset his narrowly focused mind. She had different opinions than his, and sometimes she was even right. She had a stronger aesthetic sense than he did, stronger intuition, stronger ability to nurture, stronger nest-building instincts. Oh, the perfect mother she would make. God, in love, had provided himself as a loving creator and had provided a helpmate to complete Adam and make him all he could ever become. The nature of nurture is to make things better. The nature of nurture is to take that which is lacking pieces and make it whole. It goes beyond wanting and moves to doing. Nurture sees possibilities. We are to nurture our children, not say they are lacking and cut them down. And all too often in our society, we have parents who, when their children don't do as they want or don't take the path that they want them to take, find a way to make them feel awful about themselves because they're not doing what the parent wants them to do, rather than nurture that which is good in the child and can go forward and make something wonderful in our world. So in this parable, we see that. We see Jesus talking about nurturing. He says, don't cut it down. Put some manure, that is, nurture it, give it some air, and help it to live and to continue in life. Perhaps you've heard what the ancient Spartan society did to children that weren't perfect. And it is a true story. If a child was deemed imperfect, they were thrown off a cliff onto the rocks to kill them. Yet our Lord says, all life is valuable. Nurture the imperfect, that they may become perfect. Remember his words, become perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. There was a woman once who wanted peace in the world and peace in her heart. But she was very frustrated. The world seemed to be falling apart, and her personal life wasn't that great either. One day she decided to go shopping, And she went to the mall and walked into one of the stores. She was surprised to see Jesus behind the counter. She knew it was Jesus because he looked just like the paintings she had seen in museums and in devotional books. Finally, she got up her nerve and asked, "Excuse me, but are you Jesus?"
"I am."
"Do you work here?"
"In a way, I own the store."
"Oh, what do you sell here?"
"Just about everything," Jesus replied. "Feel free to walk up and down the aisles, make a list, see what it is you want, and then come back and I'll see what I can do for you."
Well, she did just that. She walked up and down the aisles, writing furiously. There was peace on earth, no more war, no hunger or poverty. There was peace in families, harmony, no dissension, no more drugs. There was careful use of resources. By the time she got back to the counter, she had a long list. Jesus looked it over, then smiled at her and said, "No problem." And then he bent down behind the counter and picked out all sorts of things. Finally stood up and laid out the packets on the counter. "What are these?" the woman asked.
"Seed packets," Jesus answered. "This is a catalog store."
"You mean I don't get the finished product?"
"No, this is a place of dreams.
You come and see what it looks like, and I give you the seeds.
You go home and plant the seeds, you water them and nurture them and help them to grow, and someday someone else reaps the benefits."
"Oh," she said. And she left the store without buying anything. You see, Jesus says in this parable, it's not that you just cut something down and get rid of it, but you actually have to grow it. If you want peace on earth, work toward peace on earth. If you want love and harmony and no dissension in your family, then work toward that goal. Focus on that, because you're the seed. Jesus says we need to get out there and do something to make things better, not just sit around and say, "Well, this is what I hope for, and oh, by the way, if I turn it over to you, will you do it?" Jesus says, "You're my hands and my feet. You make it happen. You, me, even the choir." Jesus says, "Do it." We all have seeds to sow that the Lord has placed in us. There is not one of us who doesn't have them. We can wish, want, desire, and even pray for peace on earth. No more war, no hunger or poverty, greater love for and among our brothers and sisters. But until we plant the seeds, until we work toward those goals, we will never realize that which we hope for. Surely the question will come, "Well, what can I do?" Naturally, it depends on what you want. But I believe the first step will be to live like Jesus. I would say it's that simple, but apparently it's not that simple, is it? Because there's an awful lot of people saying they're Christian, but they're not living like Jesus. When was the last time you went out and you gave food to someone, or you healed them, or helped them? When was the last time we walked this earth just to see what's going on with other people so we won't be so judgmental? We talked about that in our Sunday school class this morning. It's a matter of perspective. We can sit here in Texarkana, Texas and never leave it, and watch on the news, and we'll have all kinds of judgments against other cultures and other people. But then we have people in this congregation that have lived overseas and have experienced these people, and they feel a whole lot differently because they have a different perspective. Been there, done that. I know what these people are really like. I know what this culture really does. It's all a matter of perspective. But does it change the fact that we're supposed to nurture and help? No. You want peace on earth? Live a peaceful life. Seek compromise, not control.
You want no more war? Seek resolution, not resistance. You want no hunger? Feed or help feed those without food. No more poverty? Give to the poor. Are these revolutionary ideas, new thoughts? No, it's what Jesus did. It's what he taught. It's what he set an example for. It's why he nurtures us and why he requires that we nurture one another. Remember what he said in John 14? A lot of people don't like to have this one quoted. See if you can figure out why. John 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So if we sit here and we say, oh, but I'm not Jesus, I can't do any of these things. Jesus says, if you believe in me, you can do it. That begs the question, do we really believe in Jesus Christ? Perhaps we should add to this scripture, if you nurture these things in your heart, if you nurture these things in your heart. Now remember, there was once a farmer who went to town to purchase seeds for his farm. As he was returning home, one of the squash seeds he had purchased fell from his pocket onto the ground. It happened that within a few feet was another seed of a different type. The place where the two seeds lay was rather fertile, and miraculously, they took root. After about a week, the squash seed showed signs of growth. The second seed showed none. After 2 weeks, the squash seed began to sprout leaves. The second seed showed none. After 7 weeks, the squash began to show fruit. The second seed still showed no progress. 4 more weeks came and went. The squash plant reached the end of its life, bearing much fruit in that time. But the other seed finally began to slowly grow. Many years later, the squash was all but forgotten. But the other tiny seed, an acorn, had grown into a mighty oak tree. Sometimes we look at people and we say, you're never going to be like this. You're never going to amount to anything. We might say that about our own kids. I pray that we don't. We might see people in society and we say they're never going to amount to anything, but you know what? They might be that mighty oak. It may just take longer. There may be those of us who grow fast and strong and bear fruit and do wonderful things in our lives. And we start heading out of this world looking at another person saying, golly, they've just never done a thing. But they do. They turn into an oak. Some things take longer. Sometimes we have kids, 3 or 4 of them, and we say, I don't know what's wrong with this one. The others are really progressing and doing great in school and move on to have great careers. But this one just doesn't seem to have much going for him or her. And they end up being the most successful of all. It just took time. You got to take that and nurture that child, and they can turn into something better. Once you've accepted that you have the same powers as Jesus. Think about that. Accept that you have the same powers as Jesus, as we hear here in John 14, 12. What will you do? Will you nurture it? Will you nurture it in others? Don't cut it down. Help it to grow and to become. I think we're all in the same boat. We're all working to become like our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we stand before you today knowing that oftentimes it's easier just to cut things down, to get rid of it, to not have hope in it, hope for it. We ask that you give us the patience and the love and the compassion and the understanding to help others grow, to help ourselves and understand that there's a lot of nurturing that needs to be done in our society. May it begin with us. May we be the ones to help that your mission, your ministry may grow. For we ask this in your holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.